I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin.
That's right, yeah!
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jeremiah Jensen and Jay Catch sitting in for Hans and Scotty on this Friday. We hope you're doing well. Continue to power closer to that weekend. You're not far away.
It's Friday afternoon, so it's... we talk about this all the time. We're lucky enough to do what we do.
Yeah.
Like, as Scotty says, it's beats digging ditches. I have a brother that builds houses for a living. Like, a couple days ago, he's up in the Cache Valley area. He sent me a picture of his work truck.
Can you imagine?
It's minus 21 degrees. I'm like, well, stay warm out there. He's like, yeah, that's not happening today.
And you got to go out there and try to get your nail gun to work so you can build something. You know, it's just... everybody out there is working hard, whatever you might be doing, indoor, outdoor, doesn't matter. We hope you're enjoying the last few moments of your work week so you can get to that weekend and have a good weekend. It's going to be a weird weekend, though, Jake, because we don't have the NFL this weekend.
That's true.
I don't think reality set in with me right now that I got an NFL-free weekend. I'm not really sure I know what to do. I'm going to have to figure it out. What do you do? It's been so long. It's been 6 months. What do you do when you don't have football on a weekend?
Watch the Pebble Beach Pro-Am? I don't know.
Try again.
I know. I just, like, you're right. And the funny thing is, this is typically when the Pro Bowl has been taking place, but even the Pro Bowl has fallen off so far. They're now calling it the Pro Bowl Games. They're having a flag football game.
When you've had to completely revamp what this thing is and completely change the name of it, you know it's bad.
Yeah, that's the problem with it. There's ESPN. The ESPN will have plenty of NBA coverage this weekend, I'm sure. But without the NFL, it opens up the weekend. And it's a weird deal because it kind of previews what the next 8 months or so are ahead of you. But you have the Super Bowl a week out, but it's just like, man, I kind of feel empty not having the NFL.
Yeah. Well, we'll figure it out. So, Jake, the hype is there. Like, the Super Bowl is coming up. What's your thoughts on the matchup? What excites you about Chiefs versus Eagles?
The biggest thing is it's a battle of two quarterbacks who I think are part of the future. The nice part was in the championship round, you had all quarterbacks. The oldest quarterback was Pat Mahomes at 27 years old. This is the next core of quarterbacks that is going to lead the NFL in kind of the next era. And we all know the NFL it's a Leviathan. You can't beat it. The TV ratings say as such.
The NFL is king.
Yeah. All right. So the thing about this is it's a fun matchup of two quarterbacks who are the future of what this league is. We've seen Tom Brady. He announced this week that he's retiring. For good, quote unquote. We'll find out.
Until August.
And when the bug comes back and he wants back in.
Beat Tom Brady, do what he wants.
By the way, I've got a theory. I think he's invested into this movie, 80 for Brady.
So you think he's trying to pump it up by retiring?
I think he's invested and this movie is one, it doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good at all.
Oh, you know it's gonna be awful.
It's going to be awful, but the numbers are going to be, I feel like they're going to be through the roof because of this Tom Brady news.
Okay, we know the Associated Press, by and large, tries to play things right down the middle, right? Like the AP.
Of course.
They wrote a review of that 80 for Brady, and they came down just absolutely slammed it. They were just like, this is awful. I read the review of it last night.
It's like The Hangover meets the NFL Golden Girls.
Hangover meets Golden Girls.
Well, in a way.
We're the three best friends that anyone could have.
But
I'm gonna pass.
But getting back to the Super Bowl here, it's just an opportunity to see the next future, I guess, in a way. And by
sure.
the way, Julian Love, I don't know if you saw this in New York Giants yesterday on the NFL Network, said that Nick Sirianni is just essentially along for the ride with the Eagles as their head coach. Says the roster is so good that Sirianni, he hasn't steered it off the road. He's just kind of guiding it down the road because it's just such a good roster. I'm like, okay.
Couldn't you say that about a lot of coaches over time that won Super Bowls?
Sure, absolutely.
It's about the players, right?
Yeah, like coaches will tell you, you can't win games unless you have the Jimmies and the Joes out there that play.
No question. I mean, Andy Reid didn't win a Super Bowl until he had Patrick Mahomes, right?
Exactly.
You got to have greatness on the field. It doesn't matter how good of a coach you are. Look what's happened to Bill Belichick without Tom Brady.
Now, let me say this. The Eagles, I think people are panning them because of their road to the Super Bowl. They went through the Giants, which we all knew the Giants had flaws, and they exposed them.
Oh, no question.
But then they also faced the Niners, who the Niners are very good, but they were down to their fourth-string quarterback, Josh Johnson. They actually played half that game without a quarterback, really.
True.
So there's people thinking, they had an easy road here to the Super Bowl. I've seen enough of the Eagles that with Jalen Hurts playing at the peak of his powers, that's a really, really good team. And they're going to give the Chiefs everything they can handle. My biggest thing is I think the Chiefs, that defense, speaking of what Kansas City's got to do, that Chiefs defense has to maybe play their best game they've played in I don't know how many years.
Absolutely. And it's tough to put pressure on Jalen Hurts because of the type of offense they run.
Yeah.
There's a lot of quick stuff, a lot of bubble screens, whatever. Yeah. But, you know, we'll continue that NFL conversation a bit, but I'll close that by saying the Eagles defense is what's going to determine who wins that game. If they put pressure on Patrick Mahomes, then it's game over. If Patrick Mahomes can find a way to move the ball against that defense, then the Chiefs will find a way. It really, that's the matchup, Patrick Mahomes versus
that
defensive line. Mm-hmm. Of the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's switch gears back to the NBA. We got a guest on the Zone phone. We're going to welcome in Brian Geltzeiler from Sirius XM NBA Radio. He's followed all of this Kyrie drama and everything else going on in the league right now. It's a fun time to be talking about the league. And Brian, we're happy to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, guys. How we doing?
Doing well, Brian. It's kind of funny to be talking to you on the other side of the glass. Typically, I'm calling you and putting you on with DJ and PK, so it's kind of fun to have you talking with me, as, I guess, on the other side. But let's dive right into the Kyrie Irving situation. I've seen some of your tweets. You think that he's doing himself a disservice. Can you explain a little bit more about why you think he's going about this the wrong way?
Well, Kyrie's going to be in a situation if he plays this thing out with the Nets and plays as well as he's playing right now, and is a good team guy, which he's been for the last 3 months, he may have some options in free agency. But the reality is, you know, listen, the Nets offered him a deal, according to Shams Charania of The Athletic, that was largely dependent upon him showing up, him being where he's supposed to be, you know, not an injury, but him just, you know, not leading the team for whatever reason that he likes to lead the team. And Kyrie found that objectionable. And I think that when he looks at other places, there's going to be the same type of stipulations in a deal. And I think if he wants a long-term deal and wants a lot of guaranteed money, there's one answer to do that. Be a vital part of a team that advances deep into the playoffs. That's it. That's it. But instead now, he gets petulant, he gets childish, he gets insulted, and, you know, listen, somebody tweeted to me today, well, it's never been about money with Kyrie. Yeah, he's always had a Nike deal. It doesn't have a Nike deal anymore. This is a whole lot about money to Kyrie. And he wants to secure one last really big deal, and I don't blame him necessarily. I don't blame the Nets either. And the thing is, the Lakers will have some cap space next year. He potentially could go there if Russ leaves, but the Lakers are going to do another deal that's going to rack them up. So they're not going to sit there and with Russell Westbrook this year not make a trade and leave themselves sitting there for Kyrie Irving. And maybe they trade Patrick Beverley at a lesser salary and they do something lesser. So that's possible. My point being is that I don't know that there's paradise on the other side of this for Kyrie Irving with somebody willing to throw 4 years at him of $50 million a year. I just don't know that that's there for him right now. So when you look at the whole thing in a nutshell, this kind of move right now, it reeks a of a lack of self-awareness on Kyrie's part, of just really kind of having no idea what the perception of him is out there and thinking that everybody's going to look at what a great basketball player he is and that's enough that he's going to have multiple suitors. I think he really has misread the damage he's done to his reputation over his tenure. Not even just his tenure with the Nets, even what happened between how he slashed and burned on his way out of Cleveland, how he slashed and burned on his way out of Boston, and how he's trying to slash and burn here on his way out of Brooklyn.
You know, I agree with you, Brian, but I want to bring up to you or ask you about the timing of this. Why now? Why is he doing this right now? Obviously, he's given this a lot of thought. His camp's given this a lot of thought. Why today?
Well, I'm not sure anybody's giving him this that much thought, because I think if they haven't that much thought, they may not have done it. But I think that it's – I think he's getting – you know, a close friend of mine that's a big-time Nets fan – texted something to me today privately, but I think it's relevant in this conversation. He called it amateur hour. Mm. And in some ways, it is amateur hour. The timing of this and the reason for right now is because Thursday's a trade deadline. So essentially now, we're looking at 6 days before the trade deadline, he wants to give the Nets time to get their ducks in a row. Now, what's interesting, and what I'm a little surprised at, is that it does appear that the Dallas Mavericks may end up having some interest here. Now, how far are they willing to go? And listen, if you're the Nets, you're not necessarily taking a package led by Tim Hardaway for Kyrie Irving right now. Like, the Nets want to win a title this year, too. So, and that's the problem that Kyrie has. You throw this request out there, the Nets wouldn't take cents on the dollar for Kevin Durant. You think they're doing you that favor? Like, and some of this is so naive, but the timing question, there's no doubt that the timing of this has everything to do with Thursday's trade deadline.
Now, Brian, he is going to be a free agent at the end of the season. You mentioned the fact that he's trying to set himself up for a mega deal is what he hopes for, at least. You mentioned the fact that he's trying to get somebody to sign him for 4 years, 50-plus million on average, all that stuff. Now, what does a guy like Kevin Durant got to be thinking in this instance? Because when they were playing together, and we don't know that KD's been out with injury, but when they were on the court together, they had Ben Simmons locking up the opposing team's best player typically on a game-in and game-out basis, this Brooklyn team looked every bit the part of an NBA Finals contender that we all thought they might be. What is Kevin Durant thinking right now in your mind?
Well, I think Kevin Durant's watching closely and watching intently how the Nets handle this. Kevin Durant, six months off of his own trade mm-hmm. request.
Yeah.
That ended up not being honored. So if I'm Kevin Durant, I want to see how the Nets are going to treat this from a basketball standpoint. Keep in mind about Durant. Durant tells you one thing, and it's always true. I just want to play ball. I just want ball. To Kevin Durant, it's always been about basketball. Kyrie, it's always been about a lot of other things. To Kevin Durant, it's always been about basketball. And if I'm the Brooklyn Nets right now, and I'm going to seriously look at dealing him, I am not making a deal if I'm not consulting Kevin Durant. Now, when I say consult, I don't mean let Durant tell you who to go get. I mean put a package of players in front of Durant and say, are these guys that you're willing to play with? Are these guys that you think you could win with? Are you going to be comfortable with these guys? Are you willing to commit to us and not ask for a trade this offseason if you don't like these guys? Talk to us. Give us some input on where you are. Give Kevin Durant some skin in the game. That's how I'd handle it if I were the Nets. I would treat Durant like he's the most important person in the organization. Because guess what? He is. So, and if the Nets want to do something here and want a chance to win a championship around Kevin Durant, get him involved in this process. I can't imagine Kevin Durant's happy about this. But one of the whole Durant-Irving relationship has a fractured, probably a strong word. It is not as strong as it once was. Irving has done a lot to break that down. And although they have a very nice thing on the court, they used to have a very nice thing off the court, and they're not exactly the buddies that they once were. I think a lot has happened here to divide the two of them. A lot of what Kyrie has done here between last year, between this year, I think it's made it harder for the two of them to be as close. So I don't think Durant's necessarily going to look at this and feel totally betrayed, because he was willing to bail on Kyrie before this year. So, I business is business from that standpoint. But I think the important thing to watch regarding Durant is how the Nets involve him in this. if the Nets are smart, they make Kevin Durant a large part of this. And oh, by the way, if Kevin Durant says, I don't want to have my hands on it, the Nets know everything they need to know about Durant's commitment to them long term. And they got to start prepping a bid, potentially looking at moving him in the offseason. Because if he doesn't want any part of it, he is not thinking about being long term with the Brooklyn Nets. So there's a lot that this triggers regarding the Nets and Durant, with Irving wanting out now and being public about and essentially looking to get out. By the way, gun to my head, guys, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think Kyrie Irving is getting traded by Thursday.
Interesting. I would agree with you as well. And I don't think the Nets should allow him to force their hand or dictate what they do personnel wise. I don't think that's the right move. Let's say they decide they're done with this. They want to move on from Kyrie Irving. What should the Nets do? What should they be looking for? What team or teams make the most sense to you?
So, okay. One thing I would say to you is this. If you could end up in a situation where, like, the one trade, if you really wanted to be done with him, the one trade that could kind of make sense is to talk to Phoenix about Chris Paul. Mm. Just for the fact that Irving, and listen, you're giving up a bunch of years. Paul's definitely on the downside of the mountain here. There's no doubt about that. That Phoenix situation is pretty toxic. And the only reason I would say that is because any of the other packages you're getting back are not going to be worth it. Like, you can't go to the Lakers and Westbrook. I mean, you're going to try to reunite Durant and Westbrook. Kevin's going to go crazy. He went to lengths to get away from Russell Westbrook. Now you're going to turn around and bring him back? You can't do that. Okay, so. I mean, you certainly could look at Miami and Kyle Lowry, but Kyle Lowry's another guy that looks like he's kind of done. But if you were going to do something, the two players I would have to look at would be Chris Paul and Kyle Lowry. It would be either Phoenix or the Heat. But I also don't know that Kyrie has Miami DNA in him. I'm not sure that's a guy that they would want to bring there. Now, listen, Pat Riley thinks he can turn anybody into a reclamation project, and maybe he thinks being in Miami would be good for Kyrie to kind of be involved in their culture and do what they do there. That's possible if that's what the Heat think they could do. I don't find it likely, but it's certainly possible. But I guess if I'm Brooklyn, forget about a poo-poo platter of three, you know, average players from another team. You know, you got plenty of those on your roster as it is. If I decide that I have to do this, that I have to cut bait, that I don't want this guy with my organization anymore, this is going to become about trying to catch lightning in a bottle from somewhere. And if I catch lightning in a bottle, I'm looking at a CP3 Kyle Lowry option with the thought that maybe next year I have an expiring that I could deal with, you know, with picks and whatever else for a disgruntled star from another team.
Before we get you out of here, Brian, I wanted to ask you about Utah Jazz, a couple of things. Lauri Markkanen, of course, named to the NBA All-Star Game as a reserve here from the West Pool. How big is that for this franchise to have a guy that was on a, most people thought was a rebuilding team, a team that wasn't going to win more than, what, 25 games in a season, but to have him be an All-Star, how big is that?
Well, listen, not only is he an All-Star, to me, I mean, he's the most improved player in the league this year. He's been fantastic. I mean, you look at his numbers this year. I read this in Bill Simmons' column today. His numbers are very similar to Dirk Nowitzki's numbers when Dirk won the MVP. How amazing at the 2007 that was. How amazing is that? That's how good Lauri Markkanen's numbers are. And it's so funny because last year we looked at that Fox Sabonis the bonus Halliburton trade with Sacramento and Indiana. Like, oh, my God, Indiana mugged them. It ended up working out fantastically well for Sacramento as well with the way they've played this year. This Utah-Cleveland deal is another one of those where both sides got everything that they wanted. Markkanen has been outstanding. And one of the things that's truly, truly helped Lauri Markkanen here, especially recently, keep up this momentum, is how well Walker Kessler's played. I mean, geez, Walker Kessler makes you not miss Rudy Gobert there, guys, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That guy's terrific. So you look at the way everything came together. Danny Ainge is really, really good at this. Okay? And he had a vision for what he wanted here for Mitchell. He felt like Markkanen could be this kind of player. Markkanen last year in Cleveland showed a ton of versatility, playing a lot of three for them, played really well in that spot. And even the other night, you saw him start Olynyk, Markkanen, and Kessler across the front line real hard. He started. So they've used some of that versatility that Markkanen has to be, he can hide him a little defensively, to be able to play some three form. He's been absolutely terrific. It's been meaningful for the Jazz. And listen, the Jazz are going to be active here in a way that the fans probably aren't going to love. You know, we're hearing a lot of Malik Beasley, Jared Vanderbilt talk, Mike Conley's name's out there, Jordan Clarkson's name's out there. You know, more guys are going to move here from this Jazz team, but there is now a really nice young core in place with a mound of picks. And I could see this whole Jazz rebuild kind of springboarding off of being as competitive as they've been this year, where we thought they would be in the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes. That's just not really going to happen. And listen, Danny Ainge is the same guy that traded for Jason Tatum. He's the same guy that was thought to have overdrafted Jaylen Brown. And Jaylen, those two guys are tying. I don't think they're on the Celtics right now. Danny Ainge generally knows how to draft players. So, and the more picks he has, the better it's going to be for the Jazz, because he hits a lot more than he misses, I'll tell you. So, to me, the Jazz are in great shape here, and Markkanen is a major, major building block.
He's Brian Geltzeiler, SiriusXM NBA Radio. For those of you who have SiriusXM here in Utah, you can listen to Brian on NBA Radio on SiriusXM. Brian, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Great stuff. And it's going to be very fascinating to see how this all plays out over the next week.
Certainly is, guys. Thanks so much for having me, and we'll talk to you soon.
There you go. Brian Geltzeiler.
Good stuff on Kyrie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The thing that stood out to me about what he said is, you know, we oftentimes think because these NBA players make millions of dollars and they have very smart people working around them and for them, mm-hmm. that they're very strategic in everything they do, and they make very calculated, thought out decisions. And Brian just reminded me that no,
some of them do.
Sometimes there are players like Kyrie who have never been told no in their life, who are 30 years old and still act like a petulant child. Mm-hmm. And they get in a mood, or their ego gets a little aggravated,
yeah.
And they decide, okay, I'm making a decision today. I woke up. I don't want to be here anymore.
Trade me.
I'm out. And that's possibly what has happened here. Is Kyrie didn't think about the consequences of this. He simply decided, I don't want to be here anymore. You didn't pay me my extension. You didn't give me what I want. I'm out of here. I'm going to force my hand and not even think about the smartest way to do that. I'm going to flip it to another example. I don't think I've ever seen a player in the NBA handle a situation better this offseason than Donovan Mitchell handled his situation here in Utah. All of us that work in sports media here knew he wanted out.
Oh, yeah. It's very
and knew that he had no plans to stay here. And he's explained it since. So everything added up to what I had heard. But you never heard one peep out of Donovan the entire summer. His camp was strategic. Donovan did it perfectly. Let the Jazz handle the situation. Let it all play out, work itself out. And it did. And it ended up benefiting both franchises. And it benefited Donovan. Benefited the Jazz. Kind of how this should work. Now, Donovan kind of took a lot of the fun out of it, and it wasn't as entertaining and dramatic as this, but that's probably the right way to go about it, right? Now, I don't mind what Kyrie's doing because I don't have a dog in the fight.
It's fodder for us.
I don't have a horse in the race. What more sports cliches can I say in this segment? I don't care, is what I'm saying, about what happens to the Brooklyn Nets or Kyrie Irving. I love the drama, and that's why I love the NBA, because we talk about how the NFL is king, 100% is. But when it comes to drama, no one has more drama than the NBA.
Okay, before we take a break, I'm not sure Adrian Wojnarowski might actually is listening to the show, but this is actually a really funny tweet that came out like right after we talked to Brian.
My guess is he is actually listening.
Oh, there's no question. Yeah.
Here it is. Among rival teams, there's far more interest in inquiring on Kevin Durant's reaction to the Kyrie Irving trade request and how that may impact KD's future with the Nets.
Oh, this is backfiring on Kyrie because teams aren't calling about Kyrie. They're like, uh-oh. Hey, is Kevin Durant available?
The guy that was number 35 for you, is he available? I'm just saying, that was really funny to see that tweet literally
that's interesting.
Come out just minutes after we talked to Brian.
And,
that's
unintended consequence of what Kyrie has done. This may, I don't know, I believe Brian's right. I think this is going to be a whole lot of nothing. This is a big nothing burger. This is just Kyrie being Kyrie and trying to get what he wants, like a spoiled child. But it's kind of funny to see how this all plays out, because the ripple effect of this, because it does impact a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It does. Like he's talking about, Brian says, the Nets need to talk to Kevin Durant. They need to be involved. Kevin Durant needs to be involved in this. Like, help us, Kevin Durant. Help us.
But as he says, if he does it, then you know exactly.
Yes, what's then you happening. Know where you stand with Kevin. Yeah. That's the bigger concern if you're the Nets or a Nets fan is, okay, Kyrie wants out. What is Kevin? Where's Kevin? What's Kevin thinking about? Is Kevin okay? What does Kevin think about this? Does Kevin want to leave? We already know Kevin wants to leave because he asked for a trade before the season even started. We spent the whole entire offseason talking about Kevin Durant's trade request. Mm-hmm. So they're worried about Kevin Durant. They're not worried about Kyrie. It's funny how the league works and the drama that works. It's just, this is why the NBA right now, honestly, it's crazy. Like, the game on Saturday night on ABC is not what drives the needle with the NBA. It's the drama. It's the stuff like this that people tune in for, because that's what people want. They want to be entertained, and that's what it's all about. So when it comes to drama, Kyrie Irving always delivers. No matter what you think about Kyrie right now, Kyrie always delivers the drama, and he's done it again today. We got to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue to talk about this topic, and I want to discuss, and Jake, how could this impact the Utah Jazz? We'll discuss that and more coming up on the other side. You're listening to Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery
from CBS Sports. He covers college football. Shihan Jeharaja joining us on the program.
The nice thing about the Big 12 right now for anybody is that there is not a dominant team, especially when Texas and Oklahoma leave. There is no obvious Goliath to get over the hump. So I do think that makes the path a little bit easier. When you talk about competing year in and year out for the conference, I do think that it often takes about 3 to 5 years before you really find your rhythm, not just because you need to sort of build things up from a recruiting and talent perspective, although that's a big part of it, but also because I think that it takes a minute for a school to really build their identity within a conference. And BYU's in an interesting position because they've been an independent for so long and created a version of themselves that can do a little bit of everything.
It's Unrivaled. Afternoons from 3 to 6, presented by G2G Bars. Perfect for anyone who needs a quick, tasty, and nutritious boost. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies? Yeah, we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Welcome back to Hans and Scotty right here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. Just a reminder, are you a business owner? You have better things to do than to job hunt or scramble to find your next great hire? Let Sphereon Staffing and Recruiting do it for you. Visit them online at Sphereon.com. He is Jeremiah Jensen. I'm Jake Hatch. We're not Hans and Scotty. We're doing hands-free radio.
Definitely not.
JJ,
we are hands-free
all day with this. How is this thing going to impact the Jazz? Like, give it to us. Deliver it on the tees.
Yes.
My tees worked.
It did. It was like,
was it like 1-20 today?
It's the long
sell. And Lloyd's still dying to know.
Yep.
We've talked about Kyrie. We've talked about all these things. We even talked about the NFL and the Super Bowl. But all Lloyd cares about is, okay, JJ, how does this impact the Utah Jazz? Well, let me tell you how. Let's talk about that, Jake.
Okay.
Okay, you have a megastar, Kyrie Irving, that's disgruntled, didn't get the contract negotiated, in case you're just tuning in. Kyrie Irving, let me back up a little bit. Kyrie Irving has requested a trade from the Brooklyn Nets on Friday because both sides failed to reach an agreement on an extension. Mm-hmm. Kyrie Irving's 30 years old. He wants a max 4-year contract. which would pay him roughly $50 million a year, right?
He wants the deal that what Steph Curry's playing on right now.
Okay. Now, is Steph Curry the basketball player in that same level? I think he's just slightly below because he hasn't done it at the level that Steph has with multiple championships. Sure. But obviously, Kyrie does have a ring. Mm-hmm. Kyrie, when he's at his best and he's focused and he's healthy, is one of the five, maybe five best basketball players in the world. But all this other drama comes with it, and we're experiencing that today because now he's taken over the sports world. You look at ESPN.com, who's on the front? Net star Kyrie Irving has to be traded because this impacts so many things with the league. We just talked to Brian Geltzeiler, talked about how this impacts Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. This impacts other teams because there's now word that there's other teams that he's interested in going to. Those teams are the Lakers, the Mavericks, the Suns.
I still don't get Dallas, but okay, anyways, continue.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I mean, like, but, are Kyrie and Luka close? I don't understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, but you got to throw out the teams, sure. Right? You got to pop. So this is how the little bit how the sausage is made behind the background. Mm-hmm. You got to throw out some teams. A player that's of Kyrie's caliber has to let people know where he wants to go because that's going to stimulate interest within that organization. Oh, wait. Kyrie's interested in us.
Yeah.
It also forces other teams to be like, oh, so Kyrie's interested. So the Nets are like, oh, Kyrie's interested in playing for you. Let me talk to you and see what you could give us for Kyrie. If the team wants to engage in that at all. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, Jake, I think this is a nothing burger. I think nothing happens like Brian told us in the last segment. I don't think the Nets are going to give in to his request. I think he's still a Brooklyn Net after next week. But if they did, this is how it impacts the Utah Jazz. Trades have to be made, and they're complex when a guy makes this much money. Multiple players might need to be involved.
To facilitate it, yeah.
Exactly. So it could take a third team. It could take even a fourth team to make this happen. What is one team out there that's in an asset accumulation mode that could potentially be a salary dump spot if that needed to take place? Or a team that would be willing to do something like that to help these two teams facilitate this trade if picks are involved. Well, that is the Utah Jazz, correct?
Correct.
The Jazz are in that category. Let's say, for instance, let me throw out a hypothetical.
Okay.
The Brooklyn Nets decide, okay, we're going to trade Kyrie Irving to the Los Angeles Lakers.
You're going exactly where I had in mind right now. Continue.
But they don't want Russell Westbrook. Mm-hmm. Kevin Durant doesn't want to play with Russell Westbrook. They already did that. It didn't work. So Russell Westbrook can't come back to the Brooklyn Nets. He's got to go somewhere else. So where is he going to go? They got to find a home for him.
Well,
there's a team in Salt Lake City that has salary cap space.
It has for months been rumored to have engaged on trade talks around Russell
Westbrook.
Just
straight up with the Lakers, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So suddenly here's a situation. Okay, so they send Russell Westbrook to Utah. And in order for the Jazz to be willing to do that, okay, we want first-round draft picks.
The Lakers have them.
Now, maybe there's another team out there because the Brooklyn Nets aren't going to make this move unless it benefits them.
Correct.
And the only way this move could benefit them is if they get a player back that's of Kyrie's caliber. Not as good as Kyrie, but of. That team, we think, is the Phoenix Suns because they have Chris Paul. Now, things are not going well in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened there. They were on track to be a contender, and the wheels have come off. They are now mid. I don't know what happened. Booker hasn't been healthy. Chris Paul's not the player he was. The whole Jay Crowder situation is really weird. They're just telling him, don't come play. Jay Crowder's, we experienced Jay Crowder here in Utah. He was great. I don't understand it.
He's been sitting on his couch all season.
Okay, I don't get it. But anyway, that's what's going on there. So there's obviously some toxic stuff going on with the Suns. Maybe Chris Paul needs a reset. And I think that Kevin Durant would like to play with Chris Paul at this point.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant's like, okay, I don't want to play. If I can't play with Kyrie, and I'm tired of this drama with Kyrie, I know Chris Paul is all about ball, just like me. Let's go try to win a championship. Okay? But in order to get Chris Paul there, they might have to move a lot of other pieces. So some players may need to be involved. Then comes in the Jazz as well. Okay, so we have some players to help you make this trade work, but we're going to need another pick here and there.
So 14 mega deal.
Yeah.
Interesting. But the thing is, what you say is it makes a lot of sense because there'd be a ton of moving parts here.
Yes.
As you mentioned, KD doesn't want to reunite with Westbrook. Nope. As Brian also mentioned, he did everything within his power to get away from Russell Westbrook. So you do need partners to facilitate this. And like you mentioned, to get CP3 in theory to Brooklyn, well, you're going to have to mix it all. I'm interested in that. That'd be very interesting to see the Jazz pick up some picks and maybe a player or two be moving out with this. But that's, you're right. Asset accumulation is what the Jazz are going
for. A fourth team that could be involved, the Milwaukee Bucks, have been rumors of having interest in Jay Crowder.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Jay Crowder doesn't go to Brooklyn, but he goes to
Milwaukee.
And so, again, somebody's got to get the picks in this deal. Because without the Utah Jazz, this can't work because Westbrook's got to go somewhere.
Yep.
So Kyrie gets in L.A. Chris Paul gets in Brooklyn. The Bucks add Jay Crowder to help them make a title run, and the Jazz get maybe a couple young assets and some picks in the whole deal. So that is how, Lloyd, there's your payoff. It's 247, and I finally explained to you and everybody listening how this could help the Utah Jazz and how the Jazz could get involved. And Danny Ainge is probably way ahead of me right now because I'm sure he's already
A five-team blockbuster deal. Let's go.
He heard Kyrie make this announcement. He's like, ooh.
He's going like this, just rub his hands together.
All right,
let's go.
I want your picks. I'll take your Westbrook, but it's going to cost you. That's not even close to how Danny Ainge talks. I have no idea why I just did that. But
okay,
there you go. That is how the Utah Jazz could get involved in something like this. And in a serious note, this is why what Danny Ainge has done is so important, because it allows the Jazz to have some flexibility to make these kind of deals. At this time last year, the Jazz had zero flexibility. They had zero picks. Everything changes now because all of a sudden you can get involved in situations like this, whereas it just simply starts with a disgruntled superstar that wants to get his way.
Yeah.
And suddenly you're benefiting from that in some way. And I think Danny Ainge will be more than happy to facilitate and help as long as he gets what he wants, which would be future assets that'll help him continue to build the Jazz into a contender down the road, just as he did with the Boston Celtics.
Watch him do his thing. He's not called Trader Danny for nothing.
Yeah. But even still, if I'm Sean Marks or anybody else, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Like, I gotta get this headache off of my hands. And it pains me to be dealing with the Lakers, but I can't deal with the Lakers and Danny Ainge because I know I'm getting screwed. I know this is ending badly for me.
Yeah.
Right?
People don't want to deal with Danny.
But it's like, okay, but this is the only way it's going to work. Yeah. And this is the only way you're going to get. Because he's in a rock and hard place, because if you're Sean Marks, you got to keep. This is not about Kyrie. Mm-hmm. I'm sure if it was just about Kyrie, they would have got rid of Kyrie a long time ago. All the stuff that's gone on the last two or three years, this is not about Kyrie. And as Brian told you, he's absolutely 100% correct. This is not about Kyrie Irving. This is about keeping Kevin Durant happy. This is about Kevin Durant, not about Kyrie Irving. And the Nets are trying to do whatever they can to keep Kevin Durant happy. And in order to keep him happy, they have to be contending for a championship. And you can't just offload Kyrie and still be a contender. They have to get something back in return. So keep an eye on this over the next week as we get to the trade deadline. This story, it's going to need to resolve itself in some form. Either they're going to make the trade or they're not. And there's going to be consequences from that that's going to impact the entire league and potentially, as I just pointed out, the potential of it impacting the Jazz.
Drama.
I love it.
Can you name who that is?
That one more time.
You should be able to name that.
Drama.
Oh my gosh, who is that? Again.
There's a lot of stages that I have to go through in a lot of drama.
Dikembe Mutombo.
Oh, yes. It's our good friend, Dikembe Mutombo.
Drama.
Oh, that's great. That's perfect. Yes. The NBA.
Lots of drama.
Like, was it TNT used to say they were the home of drama?
Nope.
Well, TNT has the rights to the NBA, so maybe it works together. But the home of drama is the National Basketball Association. What a day. Again, the NBA delivers when it comes to drama.
Oh yeah,
I'm sorry. It's just I love basketball. I love the NBA. Don't get me wrong, but it's the attraction of the NBA for your casual sports fan is this.
Yes,
because this is like you can't turn away from this kind of stuff. It is fascinating, and it's everything that you tune in to watch on a TV show. It's got all the drama. It's got everything. So it's going to be fun to see how this drama plays out in the next
six days.
Thank you, Dikembe.
I love Dikembe Mutombo.
Thank you, Mr. Mutombo. We got to take a short break. When we come back, we'll have something. Let's hear more from Dikembe when we come back. Not really. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's all mental.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
Joining us now, he covers the Cougs for KSLSports.com. He's our friend Mitch Harper. If you're BYU and you have to pick one of two lanes as a football program, okay? One lane is we're going to sling it all over the field and score 50 points a game. Or the other lane, we're going to be the tough team and play slow it down, hard nose, that sort of thing. If you're BYU, which lane would you pick?
The high-flying offense. That's where college football is going, and that's where you've got to be. I think that, you know, TCU is an example of that. You got to have a high-powered offense to win in this sport. But, you know, I think that BYU, with all the hires that they have on their defensive staff, these are guys that have a strong history with Kyle Whittingham and the Utah football program, and Utah's blueprint works at the Power 5 level. Can BYU do that? I don't know. But I think BYU's identity and, you know, what the makeup of BYU football is all about, strong, high-powered offenses, and I think that'd be the route that BYU should take.
Here, Jake Scott and Ben Anderson, every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Miss any part of the show? Every moment of every show is available in podcast form by searching Hanson Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you.
Hanseless Radio coming to an abrupt end here. It's time for us to put this baby to bed. It's been a fun ride, Jake.
Monday, I think we will no longer be hands-free.
Really? Well,
is he back?
I think he's back. I think
okay.
So.
Good.
I'm not going to make any promises because you never know.
Good. I'll go back to doing TV. I crushed it today, Lloyd. I'm sorry. You didn't keep me on time.
You did. No, I wanted to let you fly a little bit. I wanted to let you... need that bird to soar.
You want me to spread my wings?
Spread your wings and fly a little bit.
Let me fly, coach.
I wanted you to see what it feels like not to have the strings attached.
Well, it was
a
pleasure.
I cut those strings.
You did cut those strings, and I took advantage of it. I feel like a little guilty about it.
No strings.
You got to understand, Lloyd, each and every day I take a lot of pride in being on time. And I feel a little guilty today, so... But I have enjoyed it. It's been nice.
The thing is, the whole reason, and it's what I like to let it be a little looser because some of our best moments are when we're running a little bit late.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's like, you know what? I'm just going to let this keep going.
Yeah.
Just let it go ahead.
You gotta let
this just roll.
This is probably not one of those moments. I hate to let everybody down. Jake, it's been fun. One last thing we'll hit is the Jazz are playing the Atlanta Hawks tonight.
Correct.
The Atlanta Hawks are an interesting team. They're 8th in the Eastern Conference. They're 26-26. So kind of like the Jazz, they're kind of mid.
Well, the best part is they're perfectly balanced. 13 home wins, 13 road wins in their 26 wins.
The Atlanta Hawks are about balance, but they're not about competitiveness. They're not an elite team, which is weird because... Trae Young is considered, you know, one of the up-and-coming stars in the league. They've got a lot of players on that team that should allow them to be better, but they're not, which is probably why they're mentioned in a lot of trade rumors right now.
Sure.
So it's kind of interesting that the NBA trade deadline is 6 days away, and one of the players that the Jazz have been linked to the most is here tonight.
John Collins.
Why is that? Why is there this... non-stop connection between John Collins and the Utah Jazz?
He's a mystery man. That's the thing about it, I think. There's just like
a mystery man.
People think that they can unlock the potential in that guy, even though he's a pretty good player, but they think there's more to get out of him, apparently.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's a nice player. How nice is he? I mean, it sounds like the Jazz have offered Malik Beasley and Jared Vanderbilt, but they want Collins and a pick.
They want picks. They want first round picks.
So it's essentially the Jazz are saying we're taking a salary dump here. So that's how. But yeah, John Collins. So for Jazz fans that want John Collins to become the next member of the Utah Jazz, You can watch them tonight. Mm-hmm. So we'll be watching that game. We'll have coverage for that on KSL TV tonight, 6 and at 10
yeah,
as the Jazz.
Right here on the station.
And you're right. Is it on KSL News Radio tonight as well, or is it just the zone?
That part I don't know. Lloyd, you'd probably have a better idea on that one. Is it on KSL News Radio tonight? Are we simulcasting the game?
I have stumped you. So we're going to end Hanson Scotty today with me stumping Lloyd.
You stumped me. You got me, actually.
I apologize. That is a terrible way to end a show, but we just did it. So that's what you can look forward to tonight. Enjoy the Jazz game as the Jazz take on the Atlanta Hawks. And if you can't watch it on TV, you can listen to it right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. And you can watch the highlights tonight at 10 on KSL TV. I'm Jeremiah Jensen. Jake, it's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And we'll do it again soon. Probably not soon enough because hands-free radio is come to an end. You're listening to Hans and Scotty. Up next, Unrivaled. Alex and Scott are in. I'm sure they'll have some interesting takes on all this Kyrie drama. And I'm sure that knowing Scott and Alex, they'll have drama of their own. Can't wait to hear that coming right up after this. You're listening to 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.